So I'm going to focus on a little bit of, I guess, what some of the challenges are with the scenario process. And in particular, I'm going to touch on a couple of key themes around completeness, connectivity, structure, and emergence. The completeness point is actually a pretty important one. Essentially, a lot of businesses that we work with, particularly where there's a very formal scenario framework already in place, to some degree there can be almost scenario overload. You know, I'm aware that there's one multinational insurance company where their operational risk framework contains 2,500 scenarios across their entire business that they're modelling stochastically, you know, through the full range of understanding distributions for frequency and severity events. When things get to that point, I think they've probably got a little bit too far. Trying to make sense of all those scenarios, trying to aggregate them, think about how they're all connected, it becomes a massive undertaking and is very, very challenging. And one of the key issues there is, even though they've got such a very, you know, a vast number of scenarios, how can they actually be sure? How can you be sure that the scenarios that you're choosing are actually meaningful? How can you be sure that they're relevant to the organisation? How can you be sure that they're hitting the painful parts of your strategy? This is a common issue that we see all the time, and there's ways in which we can now, I guess, start to deal with it in a little bit more structured, robust way, rather than just saying, well, listen, I can think of, you know, this other scenario, we should test for this one, now I've got another scenario. There's too many, there's an infinite number of possible scenarios you could choose from, so how do you make sense of all of that, and is it even important? I think the other point I'd like to touch on is connectivity. So a lot of times I see organisations putting forward scenarios, and they'll start with the standard ones around economic growth, or China busting, or Europe going into financial meltdown. And a lot of them are actually framed quite independently. And that's fine. There's still a lot of value in working through those scenarios for various reasons, and Tim touched on pretty much all of them. But a key point that you need to understand is that scenarios aren't independent, dynamics aren't independent. We need to start to think about how different scenarios are interrelated. I'm not sure if any of you have actually looked at the World Economic Forum Global Risk Report. It's an excellent report for 2013. And it basically looked at all the different emerging risk scenarios that many countries perceived to be important for 2013. And one of the interesting things about that report was that they've now started to recognise that these scenarios, they're not independent. So what they've done is start to look at interconnectivity measures of how the different scenarios are connected. And so what you're seeing here is a map that they produced in their paper, which I very much firmly recommend that you have a look at, as a way of thinking about how you can start to present how these different types of scenarios might be interrelated. And this is particularly important if you're thinking about strategic risks, where some of those causal factors of drivers of the scenarios cover multiple risk silos. And it also is important if you're thinking about, say, operational risk and the different types of operational risk categories that, you know, that most frameworks have. Again, they're not independent, and you need to think through quite robustly how they are connected to one another. This is really one of the key things that that we focus on in a lot of our work, because we come at things from very much a complex systems perspective. And one of the key things that comes out of that science is that you can't understand the dynamics of a complex system by looking at the individual components and then adding things up. You actually kind of need to understand the whole first, and understand the dynamics and how things are interrelated in order to be able to make sense of it. So connectivity and dealing with that complexity is fundamental to the process. So I'll talk about in just a minute how to do that. In terms of the actual process, I think I'd pretty much agree with everything that Tim said. And what I've done here is kind of map a lot of his process points to how we typically work. And in particular, I won't touch so much on the green ones because I think they're pretty consistent with Tim's framework. But I think where we tend to have a slight tweak in how we approach things is instead of actually starting with the scenarios themselves, actually you're trying to start from a different place. You're actually trying to start, particularly if you think about holistic risk, strategic risk, you're actually trying to start with an articulation of what's important to the business. What is the business's strategy? What are the key sources of uncertainty? What are the key drivers? How are they connected? How are they related? Once you have an understanding of that system, it then forms the basis of the context of how you can understand what is important, what is relevant, and what is meaningful. You know, what are those key pain points to your strategy that you really want to focus your scenarios around? And there's ways in which you can formally and robustly work through that process. And then I think we, in a lot of the work we do, we tend to then kind of bifurcate into two different branches, whether you're talking purely in a qualitative context or whether you need to actually undertake some quantitative analysis. And a large part of that quantitative analysis is dealing with almost specific risk categories. So operational risk is a classic one there, where you do want to try and quantify an element of what it actually means. Qualitatively, a lot of times when you're talking about strategic risk and thinking about that, qualitative frameworks are great. I mean, there's perhaps a lot more value to be derived from purely working in a qualitative framework as opposed to going a quantitative approach for strategic risk assessment. The other final point, just on the process, is in order to get that context and get the relevance point, it's, I think, quite important to always start from a top-down perspective rather than a bottom-up perspective, because if you're starting from a bottom-up perspective, you never really know exactly where to start from. If you start top-down and you say, well, what are the important things about my business that I care about strategically, what are my strategic outcomes, it gives you the context of saying, right, well, I understand that, drill down to the next layer. What are the key sources of uncertainty? Drill down to the next layer. And all the time it's giving you that context and effectively provides a mechanism from which you can use reverse stress testing. So this is an example of... this is a paper we wrote earlier this year and presented at the ERM Symposium a few months ago, actually, in Chicago. And we did it jointly with one of our clients, the UK Pension Protection Fund, where we're assessing strategic risk for that company. Well, it's not really a company, it's more of a quasi-government institution that essentially underwrites the risk of DB pension schemes going bankrupt. So we work with the board to essentially, instead of looking at individual scenarios first, we say, well, let's explore your strategy. What is critical to the strategy, to achieving the strategic aims of your business? And think about all the causes of the core causal drivers and the sources of uncertainty and how they interrelate across the different parts of the business, you know, whether they're operational, whether they're reputational, whether they're kind of external types of factors. And so from a qualitative framework, we're able to use structures and approaches like cognitive mapping that really starts to capture formally that narrative that a board actually has in terms of how they think about their strategy. And that's actually quite powerful, because now with a formal description of the beautiful complexity of how that organisation works, you're able to capture multiple dimensions of risk and causal pathways. So even in that particular diagram there, which kind of maps out all the key concepts and sources of uncertainty in their business, if you were to follow all those causal pathways to the consequence pathways, you'd probably be looking at a few hundred thousand scenarios just within that particular structure. So within a very nice, simple visual picture, you can start to see what is important, what the important key parts of my business are. And so it gives you a much better starting point for thinking about what is material, what are your material pain points of your strategy, from which you can then start to frame contextual scenarios around those. So in this case, you can start to you know, categorise the different parts of the strategy where you're starting to bring in, you know, the operational risk side, the people side, the external environment side, and ask those key questions. How are all these things connected? Because a lot of times, the risks that immediately come to mind are risks that you are very aware of, and the business is typically already very good at managing. What you really want to know is, what are some of the risks that you don't necessarily have, you know, at the foremost of your mind? And a lot of times they're not necessarily the severe risks. They can be actually quite mild risks, but combinations of risk events. And how do you get a framework and a process for trying to sniff those out? In this particular case, you know, we identify for this organisation that instead of, you know, a big market crash in the equity market of 30 or 40% would, you know, cause them significant strategic pain, but it also made them realise one of the other types of scenarios that almost falls out of this type of work is those combination events, and they realised that if they literally had a mild operational risk event, a relatively mild reputational risk event, then their sensitivity to a market risk actually reduced very, very significantly. And so understanding those preconditions that if I have, you know, one or two or three things happen, my capability and capacity to do something about risk is severely diminished. And so there's other ways quantitatively to kind of take that information now and to integrate it into a quantitative framework, particularly using, you know, new types of tools like Bayesian networks, where, again, you can capture the dynamics of scenarios to actually look at the causal drivers and the sources of uncertainty for certain types of risks. And these are particularly useful in an operational risk context, so that when you're talking about outcomes, whether they're financial outcomes or reputational outcomes, you're capturing all the different causal drivers and combinations of all the uncertainty and all the underlying causal drivers that drive those different dynamics of the scenario in one consistent framework. And so as a consequence, you can use those types of approaches to do a whole range of things. You can recover individual scenarios. You can undertake reverse stress testing. And in a consistent framework that is leveraged upon the key causal drivers of the business or an operational risk scenario or some other type of stress scenario, you can start to integrate all those views collectively rather than just focus on specific points on the distribution of a certain outcome. I guess finally, I just want to leave you with one final point around emergence. So emerging risk scenarios are, I think, very, very important. And so you want to, instead of thinking about, you know, what, you know, off the top of your head, because you read some article in a paper, you know, you think a particular black swan event might be occurring, there's now structured ways in which you can go through that process. And the use of things like cladistics, phylogenetics, where, you know, the biological sciences have solved a lot of the problems around thinking about how emergence happens in complex systems, we can apply that to risk as well. And I'll leave you with one final analogy that, you know, everyone is looking for the next black swan. And don't necessarily think that you haven't already seen all the components of the next black swan. It's just that you haven't seen them in that exact combination in which we're going to see it. So black swans are nothing more than the different combination of events and causal drivers interacting in novel ways that we already know and see and have seen before. So there's ways, there's papers that are out there that you can read on these techniques, and we think there's, you know, there's a lot more rigor and science that you can apply to thinking about emergence, about connectivity, and about completeness of scenarios that you know, that I'd like to leave you with. So with that, I'll wrap it up and hand back to Wayne.